Welcome to the Choose Life Radio Network. Your host is Jill Taylor. Every week we bring you a candid conversation with someone who's making a difference for the cause of life. And now here's Jill to introduce today's guest on Choose Life Radio.
Welcome to Choose Life Radio. This is Jill Taylor. Today we have invited Burr Schelling back. And Burr, you have a great book that is called Discarded, How God Transformed an Unwanted Baby into a Servant of His Kingdom. That's a pretty powerful title for a book.
Well, thank you. Basically, it was an attempt to share with my grandchildren who Grandpa was. Kathy and I waited 9 years to have our first child. I was involved in youth ministry and really never gave any thought to having kids of my own until the doctor handed her to me, and then I'd had a whole boatload. But that first 9 years, I was just telling kids about Jesus and invested in that. And then Brian waited a while to have her first. And so now I have 11 grandchildren, and they all know Grandpa's an old guy. And I wanted them to know what God had done in Grandpa's life to make him who he is, and that he hasn't always been old. And so I started, golly, back in 2015, I think, and I started jotting down events in my life and how God invested in those. And when I got it done, I went to a publisher, and they said it was good and thought it had more appeal than just to my grandkids. Each chapter or section has a little so what section. I didn't title it that, but it helps people understand what God did for me, and he can do the same thing for them. And so the book is the final product. It took me a while, but we're finally there.
Oh, Burr, it's a great book. It's a really quick book to read, and it is powerful for people who are wondering what their part is in serving God, because it shows that you went through some really rough times and you didn't even know about them necessarily because you were adopted out. You had a mother who did not want to raise you guys. And tell me a little bit about the parents that you have who adopted you.
My adopted parents were unable to have children of their own, and they were trying to decide what to do, and as they prayed about it, decided that adoption was an option for them. Actually, they were local. I was born in a local hospital, taken to the children's home, and they came and got me. And of course, I knew none of this at that point. I wasn't aware of any of it. As far as I know, these are my parents. I grew up with them. They taught me. They taught me values. They took me to church. So it was a story that I was a part of, but not, of course, having any decision making in the story. So as I think back on it, though, you know, some things came to realization. I said, you know, what if not in 1948 there would have been an abortion law? I wouldn't be here. My 11 grandkids wouldn't be here. My children, Kathy would have married someone else, and the whole story would have changed. It's just amazing to me how God's timing, the right people. My father grew up. Both my parents grew up on farms. Their parents were farmers. Not a lot of money in our house, but a lot of love, a lot of care. So I never really grew up desiring much, and I didn't realize that we were as poor as we were until later when I started comparing myself to some other people. But God was in it from the very beginning, and he is in all of our lives. And so he reveals those things to us, and we say, aha, I understand. Thank you, Father.
Well, Burr, you have, first of all, wonderful parents. You know, you said it was difficult financially. Sometimes that's the reason people don't adopt. They think, I don't think we're going to be able to afford this. And the reality is it's not the money. It's the love. It's the prayers.
Exactly.
It's taking someone in and letting them know they are part of a family. So that in itself is a great message for our listeners today. You have been a youth pastor in a church. You've done all sorts of things. You've also, at the end of your life, you are spending a lot of time taking people on tours to Israel. Is that correct? Tell me a little bit about those things.
That's correct. When I was teaching at seminary, gosh, I guess it was 1988, Kathy and I went on our first trip to Israel. My first ministry, after I graduated from college, the pastor had been going to Israel, and he told me, borrow the money and go to Israel, and it'll change your entire ministry. Well, I grew up in a home where we didn't borrow for anything. My dad paid cash for cars. He paid cash for groceries. If it weren't for S&H Green stamps, we probably wouldn't have the plates and things that we had in our cupboards. And so it was. I was 40 years old before I went to Israel, and I paid cash. But he was right. It changed everything. And so when we got back, the professor who had hosted the trip asked if I would like to do it. He didn't want to do it anymore, and I jumped on it. And I've been going ever since. So I've been there 30-plus times and teaching people on-site scriptural lessons. And, I mean, I caught the bug, I guess, and have a real passion for people to understand God's word as it can be revealed in the sites where he walked and talked and did his own teaching.
So our listener can figure out why I am so excited about talking with you. And that is that it's a mother who didn't want to have you, and a mother who loved having you, a second mother on the other side, and father who loved the Lord and took you in. And look at what you've done for God. You have taken people to understand the land of Israel, to understand the pain that they're in when they have these wars with Hamas. And it's just a timely thing right now for us to hear from you. What can we be doing to pray for the people of Israel?
Well, of course, they're God's chosen people. Whether or not they might be making the decisions we think God wants them to make, regardless of what those are, they were chosen before we were. And so God cares about them. The fact that they have a country to defend is important, should be important to us, not just as believers, but as the United States of America. They are the only democracy in the Middle East. They are strong. They have reached out to make friendships with other countries there. And of course, selfishly, I want to continue taking people to Israel. And these kinds of interruptions don't let us continue doing that. But we need to pray for decision making. We need to pray for military leaders who have to make spur of the moment decisions, for the soldiers on the front lines. We need to keep Israel in our prayers, just because they're we're part of their family. We've been adopted in, Paul says. And so it goes beyond just the physical current situations. It's a spiritual deal. We're a part of that body. We must ask God to love and support and give wisdom and guidance. And just like we do for our local church, for our families, he becomes our fortress, as Martin Luther would say.
You have taken what you've learned, and you are a good studier of the Bible, and you have been able to teach New Testament and evangelism and discipleship for 15 years. Tell me a little bit about the way you've reached out to the students who you want to get their heart filled with what it is that causes you to love the Lord and then share who you are in God.
It goes far beyond my students, although my students are primary. Facebook has been a wonderful thing. I've been able to keep in contact with some of my students and see how God's growing them and their ministries and their families. But when I was teaching full-time at the seminary, it didn't take long to realize that my love for God's Word, the passion that I had for them to understand how to interpret it correctly, how to make applications of it correctly. So we just had a wonderful time getting to know students, their families. We, of course, being a small school, we spent time together as families in each other's homes, praying for one another. It was a wonderful situation, and my students continue to contact me. It's really been an exciting ministry.
That is exciting. We're going to take a quick break and come right back to Choose Life Radio.
Jill will be back in a moment, but in the meantime, I want to share a thought from Dog Stories, a book by James Herriot, an English veterinarian and storyteller. In his down-home way, Herriot wrote about a dog who was hit by a car on a country road. Traveling not far behind, a young couple picked up the injured dog and took it to the closest vet, who was James Herriot. While attending the dog's mangled leg, the rickety table nearly collapsed. Herriot instinctively grabbed the dog, and the couple, who were strategically located at the table, immediately braced it with their knees till surgery was over. Although the positions were awkward and the table heavy, the couple held on. They took the dog with them and nursed him while on vacation. The next week, they stopped by with the dog and asked Herriot to check on his leg. Without any prompting from the vet, they assumed their roles as table braces while Herriot placed the dog on the rickety table. The author included the story in his book to highlight the healing that had taken place within the dog's body. But as Jill and I talked, it's the young couple who grabs our attention. While not veterinarians, they made the surgery and follow-up possible. I can't help but draw a parallel between the couple whose knees held steady the table and you, our Choose Life Radio family, who for nearly 5 years have held steady and braced this life-affirming radio and podcast ministry. A similar story can be found in Exodus 17. It's about Aaron and Hur, who stood with Moses and helped keep his staff held high. Those associated with the Choose Life Radio family realize how important our family of contributors is. Without your prayer and generous financial support, we wouldn't be on radio. But with you and friends like you steadying the table, we continue to share the sanctity of human life. In an effort to keep steady the surgery table, so to speak, your gift today is more important than ever, whatever amount you may choose to give. You can send your gift today through our online portal at chooseliferadio.com. Push the donate button and make your gift online. That's chooseliferadio.com. Or you can send your gift to Choose Life Radio, Post Office Box 36622, Canton, Ohio, 44735. Thank you for sending your generous gift today. You make it possible to share the value and sanctity of life on this station.
Welcome back to Choose Life Radio. I'm Jill Taylor, and our guest is Burr Schilling. He's doing a great job of sharing his personal story. And you can find in his book, Discarded, How God Transformed an Unwanted Baby into a Servant of His Kingdom. And would you tell us a little bit about that, Burr? You have a doctorate, you're very successful, and your family took you in. Tell me a little bit about what you want to share.
Discarded just tells my story. Most babies, when they're born, are taken from the hospital back home to a freshly painted nursery, decals on the wall, balloons hanging from the ceiling, grandparents making funny faces in their face, celebrations, everybody stopping in to say hello. I had none of that. I was born in our local hospital, and I was taken by a social worker down to the children's home where I spent the next 9 months of my life. I asked my adoptive mother, what did they call me? What was my name? And she said, I have no idea. So for 9 months, I was a baby doe. Scripture says that God calls us by name, but I had no name. Some adoptees struggle with that. Who am I? What is my background? How do I know who I am is the question they ask. We'll get to that in a second. So for 9 months, I had no name. I was adopted. I was born on January 12th. On October 14th, I went home to a new home. My parents never held that as a secret. I always knew I was adopted from the day I went into their home. We celebrated in our home 2 days for each of us. There were five of us who were adopted at different points in life. So we always celebrated January 12th as my birthday and October 14th as my special day. A couple of years ago, my mother is 97. I called her and I on October 14th, I said, "You know what today is?" She says, "I sure do." And so we still celebrate October 14th. Today, I have friends who whose children have adopted, and they call it Gotcha Day. But we just in our home called it our special day. And so we had a birth date, and then we had a special day, and we celebrated it every year. The interesting thing is, some adoptees wonder, where was God in all this? I was far too young to understand any of that, but as I look back, I realize God never took me out of his care, and he never takes you out of his care either. He knows you. He knows all about you, and it's not the past that's important. It's the future with him, and so he protects us, and not all our experiences are as wonderful as mine was, and I understand that. But God has never forgotten, and he still loves you. Jesus still died for you, and the future that he has for you only depends on you reaching out to him and submitting to him.
That's a passionate plea right there for our listener. Wow. And if it's not for them personally, it is for them to share with someone that doesn't realize how special they are.
That's right. And we as believers need to realize we can hold the same position my parents held. There are infants being aborted who could grow up in your home, given special love and care and a name and a future. And so I encourage believers to consider it. If you're within the ages that you can still parent, consider some of these babies that are going to be available or could be available. And God has a name for them too.
That's a great statement to make for us today about adoption. You know, we talk about adoption often on this because we did adopt a son in the middle of our two girls. It's an important issue for us as well, personally. But I think a lot of people are fearful about what's that going to be like? Is that child going to want to go back to their parents when they realize someday that they were adopted? Or, you know, and it all has to do with how you don't treat them like they're adopted. You treat them like they're yours, your children.
Exactly. I believe it all has to do with security. I never doubted that I was loved. I never doubted, even knowing that I had a past that I didn't know any details about. That never bothered me because I was secure in who I was and what I knew at that point. And parents encourage that and feed that. Even to encourage an adoptee to find their parents is not a threat. Now, I never had that desire. People say all the time, "Did you not want to know who your biological parents were?" And I said, "I have parents. They had their chance. They gave me up."
So you can be funny about this as well.
I say it in a humorous way, but it's true. God gave me parents that loved me and took me to church and introduced Jesus to me and encouraged my walk with him. There are children out there that need that, and many of us can provide that.
And that is such a strong statement to make today for you, listener, to understand if you are within the age that you can add a child to your family and encompass them with the same love you might have with a child that you've born. It would be such a blessing for them. And I tell you, the only one of our three kids that lives around us is our adopted son, and we couldn't do without him. You know, he's the one who comes over and does the heavy lifting for us, you know. And our other girls, they're far away in Oregon and in South Africa. So it's a truth that you have no idea what that child is going to bring into your family.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'm so blessed with your story, your story, that you had a young couple that came along and picked up 5 children. Is that correct?
Yes, there were 5 of us, all adopted. Like I said, my parents were unable to have children. I was the oldest. I had a young sister who was, I guess, 3 or 4 years younger than me. And we lost her when she was 6. I was 9 or 10. In the book, I talk about that. That was my first encounter with death. But and then they adopted 2 more biological brother and sister, and then my baby brother later on, 11 years, my junior. In fact, I just lost him. So God knew all about his life as well and directed him as well. So it's not like we're in this TV movie where everything is scripted to be over in 90 minutes or 60 minutes or whatever, however long the movie lasts. This has to do with a father who loves us and has for eternity and has given us a name that he will call us by and lead us by and direct us in our lives, regardless of the parents we have. Or if we have no parents. In fact, scripture says he becomes a father to the fatherless. I want to encourage you, if you haven't adopted, I encourage you to consider it, talk to the father about it. And if you are adopted and situations aren't what you wish they were, realize God's not surprised. He knew all about it before you did, and he has protected you, and he has loved you through all of this. So reach out and seek him, ask him, search for him if you don't already know him. And discarded is not the worst thing that can happen to us in our lives, because we have a God who loves us and cares for us.
That's so true. That is so true. And I can see the evidence of God through you in the words that you shared with us today. They're very powerful. Let me just give the audience the information about who you are. You have completed a baccalaureate degree in religion from Taylor University in Indiana. You have a master's of divinity degree from Weinbrenner Seminary, the doctor of ministry degree from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Illinois, and a PhD from Bowling Green State University. You have done postdoctoral work in biblical geography at Trinity. You slouch. I mean, what in the world are you doing with your life? But this is the value of you living, not being aborted, but being placed for adoption and a family that comes around you.
That's right. I was talking to two of my grandchildren recently. And we talked about abortion, and Ohio went through a vote here a few months ago, and they were asking me about it, and we were talking about it, and my grandson looks at me and says, "You mean we may kill the next president?"
Good question.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I'm laughing a little bit about the political things that we're dealing with now. But the reality is, you're saying that he understands that a child not born yet could be our president.
Absolutely. He captured the reality of what God did for Grandpa, and that this baby will never have that option.
Well, that is a very powerful message. Got a couple more minutes left. Tell me a little bit about your precious wife.
She is well. We've, over the years, as you read the book, realized that we dealt with some cancer. But she is well, doing well. In fact, her oncologist has released her now. So we're living with grateful hearts to our Father, who's been so faithful she's really loving our grandkids, just as any grandmother does. We spend a lot of time going to music events and athletic events. And of course, with 11, they're spread out too, from, I guess, second grade to sophomore in college, junior in college. And so we have lots of football, basketball, cheerleading, soccer, music, choir concerts, band concert. So we're enjoying being grandparents to all these active children that we have. So we're just great. We're just been blessed beyond measure.
I am so proud of you, and it's wonderful to know you a little bit more intimately through this interview. And I hope our listeners will share this interview with people that you know need to hear how special they are because they placed for adoption. I'm Jill Taylor, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you again next week on Choose Life Radio.
The preceding program was sponsored by the Choose Life Radio Network of Canton, Ohio.